studio.
Go ahead.
So I bring that up back in 2010, January 10th. I mentioned, or January 13th, I mentioned the Ray of Creation in what he's trying to say. So now as I think about it, we'll hear what's said, but that's light. So you get the Ray of Creation, and then you got salt. There's always right. two of everything, because there's two conversations. So it has to be two of in every situation.
Roxana was listening to Gurdjieff when she was 10. Did you say that?
Yep, when she was 11. Whenever she met... Remember, if you heard the... Well, okay. The interview that was done in Nexus magazine, and I don't know if Roxy just heard it. Roxy just emailed me. She's listening. She just tuned in 20 minutes ago or something, 25 minutes ago. No, 15 minutes ago. So the Spanish interview that prompted my later interview... It goes into her history as a kid and how she met these guys. I mean, she heard them, I think, when she was 11, where she was taught learning the violin, playing the violin. She walked up several floors, and one of the floors had electronic weird music coming out of it. So she gets to meet, she introduces herself to these people, and she's got the resources and knowledge. She's bought all the albums. So they let her in, and he was a Gurdjieffian, the main guy. And he talked Gurdjieff all the time. So at the age of 11 or 12, she was 11. Then she went away to Washington for a couple of years, then came back. But she corresponded with the guy while she was away. But let's say she really got into it by the time she was 14 and 15, started to be old enough to really get it, or maybe got it when she was 11 or 12. But the guy talked, like she said, he talked with the Ray of Creation, and she named a few archetypes of Gurdjieff thought. Yes, she started hearing that when she was 11. And the interview, you have to see that she has forever been in a high-level salon since she was 11.
Yes, yes.
Because she then went on to know this top journalist in Mexico whose buddy was Gabriel Garcia Marquez, who wrote 100 Years of Solitude. He's like a Nobel Prize-winning Mexican or whatever he is, novelist. She would sit in the room as a teenager and listen to the journalist and Marquez talk, and she didn't know who the novelist was until he died. Because when he died, his nickname came out, and then she remembered the journalist called him by his nickname. I think that's the way it went. So there she is in that thing. Then she played in Frida Kahlo's backyard. Then she met all the great artists of Europe that went to Mexico in her late teens in art school and that. And then she was a leader in the electronic nightclub scene, and she met all the major musicians, all of them, most of them gone on to make big deals. Few didn't make it. And then she goes to Berlin and meets all the famous composers there and also the professors. And then she, part of the artistic community, theater community, and so she's in that level of salon thinking. And she also was looking at a lot of New Age stuff like Dan Winter. And then she shows up here, and she's part of this salon. So she never stopped being sort of at good, you know, intense places of thinking.
Yeah.
Let's just say, did I get that right, Roxy? See if she types in. I don't know. Did that do you justice? So what I did is I started the interview off because the Spanish-Mexican Nexos magazine ends with her just before she leaves Mexico and goes to Berlin. So we pick up in Berlin. That's where we start. Have you heard it?
Yes, yes.
Did you hear it live?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But I really didn't settle in that she was, you know, that Gurdjieff. I mean, that's pretty high-level
abstract. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Before she was 11, I forgot. As a little girl, she was constantly brainwashed by her grandfather.
That's right.
A pyramid hat-wearing, you know, synarchist, Illuminati Martinist. What do they call the Martinist family, who Germain was part of? So she heard all about weird ideas from him.
Yeah.
So it never got crystallized until she met Ion. Then she could hear a solid voice that seemed to know it all that she had wondered about and added new dimensions. So she's been lucky that way.
Yeah. Yeah. There was an interesting link. I heard Ion say that the elders in Shangri-La, and I think it was a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, I picked on that because it was something. I gotta find that. Did I take a note, man? I'm still getting my coordinates now of not being able to do my notes at work, so I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
I remember Ion saying that there's a way to connect to the water from Shangri-La, that the water from Shangri-La that you can connect to it. So when I heard Ion saying the elves in Shangri-La, I'm like, wow, that's a little hidden theme there.
Yep.
Little hidden theme.
Yeah, remember the way back there in the private session where Ion tells us at the beginning of the TV show Warehouse 13, they show different esoteric places, and one of them is the valley that enters the Shangri-La.
Right.
That's
yes,
one of
I
the paintings they show. So if you could look up Warehouse 13 in some, you know, archival TV source, look at the first, or just look at any episode, first season, and the images it shows.
Okay. I'll do that.
Let me say this. The guy, Brian, he's surprised that J.W.'s voice is similar to Ion's. Well, people used to be shocked that Michael Blake Reed's voice was so different from the Evergreens.
Right.
And then he says Bashir was like that. So I was just thinking, they're all phony channeling entities. J.W. was the real, quote, medium because his voice never changed. I emerged completely with it and did it.
Yes. And then to cap it off, there's 10. JW.
No, 12. There's 12.
Oh, wow. 12 JWs.
Yeah. 10, 11, and 12, the last three, Ion refused to describe. We don't know anything about them.
Yeah, just take that. You know, that's where, like you said earlier about, what is it? I forgot the words, but it's something about staying on the leading edge. And, you know, there are a lot of themes that you can bring up that keeps you on the leading edge. And that's one right there about 12 JWs. I mean, just to take that and spin that in your labyrinth, spin that in your labyrinth for a couple minutes and try to figure what that means. And, you know, and then just all the other bits and pieces and themes that have been discussed on these private sessions or just engaging Ion. It's amazing. I mean, I've thought about this yesterday. It's like, how would you describe this? Like, you could say, like, it's a school, but it's not really a school. But whatever you're exposed to really changes your whole look on everything that you deal with. I mean, that's how I'm looking at it. I mean, like, it changes everything. It's from just going to the store and buying something, you're not the same because there's something my perspective or how I'm perceiving things is totally different now. And it's just
right. Now we are a school, but we're not limited to being a school.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Now, what you were saying, something I think I was going to say. So, so you start off saying that we are unique. Yeah, no doubt about that. But what was your point? You've said this many times. So, what's the different point?
The point.
What were you thinking yesterday, which was different?
It's just that it's school, but it's not school.
Well, it's a kitchen. We have food. We're a restaurant.
Yes, that's what makes it different. Yes, that's what
And we're a pharmacy. and were a avant-garde thought generator. Oh, yeah. Something about what you were saying, how he said this amazing thing. Something about what he said. What was the thought you cited? I think you cited one of the things he said.
Not on this subject. I didn't. There was nothing to say. I was just something that, when just listening, I just thought about the whole stream of thoughts. That wasn't nothing particular that Ion said. What we were just talking this subject here about being in school, it was nothing that. But it's just it's this the stream of thoughts. I mean, it's not really you can't say thoughts, but it's just the words change your.
It's
perception.
Poetry. It's yes. It's the ultimate poetry. Which someone said was the original pseudoscience. But the
awesome.
You started to say you realized something. I don't think you've said it yet. What did you realize yesterday?
Well, that's what I said. I just realized that it's a school, but not really a school, but it's just something that is exciting about listening to this, listening to the clips, listening to personal sessions, private sessions.
It's what every theater... It's what all art forms aspire to be, endlessly fascinating and interesting and original. Like, you're going to hear some original stuff in a minute when I start the next recording, stuff you never heard before. And, you know, you didn't even know there were this many topics to be original about.
Yes, that's it. That's it. And it makes it school... I mean, the whole literate aspect, this is beyond literacy. It's so far beyond. That's what it is. That's what I want to say. It's beyond. That's what I was thinking yesterday. That now it's glad we're talking about. It's like this is beyond literacy. It's so far beyond literacy. So far.
You could say it's the literary tradition. I mean, the oral shaman tradition, you know, passed on mouth to mouth. But it's not just teaching. It is food. So you do ayahuasca. I imagine they teach you, they say some things about it, and then you do the ayahuasca. That's the kind of food. Well, they're not, I don't think, out there activating Hollywood and changing the consciousness in the Android meme. We're also doing that. So it's a school not just for us. We get to witness the school or the alterations that Ion's making all around the world. You got the front row seat. Which is what Cosmic Awareness promised in the 70s when Paul Shockley came on. They had a little blurb about this was a new medium for Cosmic Awareness, and we will give you a front row seat on what was happening in the next while. And that's what we do. We give everybody a front row seat. But we actually, we bring you up and claim that you're doing half of it. You're watching the show, Cosmic Awareness, and say that, and then Ion points out, well, that last act, you wrote that, Bert. That's pretty good.
Hey, yeah, but there's another thing. That's I'm glad we talked about this, Bob, because you helped me bring it out. That's what I was thinking yesterday. I was like, when I listened to almost the whole first and second part of Electricity, and I'm like, this is beyond school. This is beyond literacy. I mean, it's so far beyond it because when you – it's something about when you listen to Ion and then whoever the person is asking the questions, especially when you're asking the question, it really opens up something that's beyond school, beyond literacy. I mean, it's –
well, it's the original communication of non-physical when we first fell.
Yeah.
It was the first, like we fell down the well, and we yelled up back to the gods that didn't fall down, what's happening? And the gods spoke down the well at us and said, they'll get us out. That's what Ion is. It's that communication to the ascended.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I want to start the recording. It's an hour and 40 minutes, so I can finish before 1 o'clock. Okay?
Okay.
So I don't know if you'll be around then. But this one,
thanks a lot.
This is, and when you're mobile, that means you're walking around out of range.
Yeah, walking around, chopping vegetables, doing stuff around the house.
Oh yeah.
So
okay. Well, this is pretty good. This starts off with the Haiti earthquake, which was a pretty dramatic thing. Then goes into eventually gets into the golden ratio and matter. So good stuff. So thanks for being part of the show, and we'll talk soon.
Yes. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Oh, I should say, well, Jermaine, did you want to say something? Sean?
Bob, ready for the recording.
Okay, Jermaine?
No, it's ready for the recording, too.
Is Jack asleep?
No, he's here.
Okay, you're going to dig this one. Here we go. This is January 13, 2010.
This is session 235. Oh, speaker. This is session 235, recorded on January 13, copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6:26 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Okay, I'd like to... I get a feeling that our show today, Cashflow, was a marker show. I felt that we were really resonating, or that there was an audience really resonating with us, or that there was excitement in the air. But that might have been based on our talk after, when we realized we're going to be the Howard Stern, the new Howard Stern, Carol's going to be the new Robin.
Well, maybe, but don't you find it interesting, the anomaly that we gave you last night about are you looking forward to your
yes.
cash flow
yeah.
show?
Yeah.
And then that was the discussion that was going to be a reality that you were going to embrace. And then you get on your beginning and you have Bill on the line and he's like, oh, we're having trouble with, I can't get his Skype up. I don't know if he's here. Oh,
right.
I don't know. And we were laughing on the inside because Bob's spinning in it now. It's like, that damned Ion, he said we were going to have to look forward to this show and then it won't happen. And we were off last week and rah, rah, rah. And then all of a sudden, of course, bam, there it all worked itself out. But we were leaving you hanging in the wind there for just a little bit, Dad. Sorry.
We'd just go ahead and do the show without James.
Well, indeed. Yes, indeed. But
we wouldn't be able to see the calls and messages, I don't think.
Well, and Bill could have just as easily said, proceed, carry right on, and slapped on a best of Ion, and nobody would have known the better.
That's right. Now, so you caused the Skype problem, just to bug Bob?
Just a bit. Just to give you, because that was the question, is it, was it going to be or was it not going to be? Well, you were looking forward.
Yeah, you made me think of being interested in the show last night. You got me all involved in it.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And it's good because that context of contrast doesn't have to be earth-shattering. You see, nobody has to die to enjoy a bit of contrast. But what it does is it brings you back to that place where the example was laid out for you specifically to where your non-physical could embrace it. And then you could get to sift it out a bit and then, like, deal with it, meaning handle it, meaning embrace it, don't embrace it, yell and scream and holler, or get over it, or not care, or, you know.
You're talking about the interruption, the potential
talking about
interruption.
In the beginning when you didn't know there was going to be James or not.
Yeah, it only lasted a short while.
Just a bit.
Didn't get too involved in it.
No.
That's exactly correct, but it had to come back to your memory place of, oh, yeah, we did talk about that yesterday.
Which I didn't think of. You just told me now. I did not even think of that. It was like I didn't even care. I was, like, rather bland. You could say bland or super nothing. Or I thought, well, what would we do? I did think, would we go on by ourselves? And then
right.
it was over. So
exactly.
It was very short. Now I'm thinking what impressed me was the fact someone called up and heard the distortion at the top
of the
hour. That was fun.
Of course, because you had made reference to it, but see, and we've said we had did it for everybody, but James didn't know anything about it, Bill didn't know anything about it, nobody knew anything about it, so it was very easy that you have a resonance today, because what's happening is people are looking for some way to activate their individual non-physical, and we're as good as any,
yeah,
meaning,
yeah.
it becomes a very way that you can ask. It's like the girl today that was having the boyfriend problems, and she was going through it, and she answered her own question, and that's one reason. Well, that's easy. You know, when someone negotiates your generosity, how is that going to be a fruitful relationship for you for any length of time? And that becomes, then it's like, well, yeah. And if he's going to be the one, he'll understand. And if he's not, you should find out now.
Yeah, they enjoy the clarity of the obvious that they kind of know, but they need someone to say to them, so Ion gives them the obvious, and they go.
Well, and also it was kind of fun for JW because he's kind of like, oh, great, we had just made conversation when we were doing movie works about how Ion never gets the where's my man, or is this the relationship for me, and, you know, what we jokingly talk about with the Sylvia Brown conundrum. Where's my money check?
And
first question right out of the shoot was, what do you see in my relationship? And I was like, well, I see a vagina, and I see...
It was trivial on that level as we're interpreting it, because she interrupted the important topic of Michael Jackson. Didn't even care about Michael Jackson.
Absolutely. And it was kind of like, she'd be like, Michael who? I'm worried about my man. You know?
Yeah, that's more people getting in their own reality. What Michael did, nothing for her. Okay, so she... I did think, here are those silly questions that we're going to get a lot of when she started it. But what, you're saying we discussed this with JW and movie works?
Yes, when we were talking about the movie, he was making little snide statements about how Ion does not get these, where's my husband, how do I win my lottery?
And, oh, that's right. I was thinking that earlier today. He was thinking the other day, he was commenting how we get good questions, quote, good questions. Yeah. And the first question we got was the ones that we love to get. We love to get those questions.
Yeah, what do you see in my relationship?
Yeah, now you can see into their life and their relationship immediately. Yeah.
Well, their non-physical shined it like a beacon of light.
Right.
But now this is not indigenous just to us, Bob. Everyone can do this. Everyone actually does do this. They just won't take their power in doing it.
Right, and the question is how to do that. And then we don't need to get into that. We have many lessons on how to do that. And basically you don't have to do anything. Just know that you can do it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then allow it.
Right. So but do you see, you don't see things in physical terms. You just know things about them.
No, wait now.
Well, you know about her boyfriend.
Sure. And here's even better than that, Bob. Like when we engage and you're not physical, when you see the face on the wall or we see specific things that are going on, we see through your eyes.
Right, so you saw through her eyes.
Yeah. And when you see through a human creator's eyes, you get a full, it's 4D. You smell it, you see it, you feel it, you hear it, it's just as though you're there. But the same way that JW allows us to flow through him, same way, it's nothing foreign for him now. I mean, he's been doing this for a few minutes, so...
Yeah.
But in the very beginning, it was kind of like, wow, this is sort of fun, and I don't know, and are people going to think I'm weird or not? And then he didn't care, so it's like, well, okay, you'll do. Here we go. Because there's very little he had to even push against. You know,
okay, but like, do you see what her boyfriend looks exactly like?
Sure.
Oh, you see?
He is six. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
He is 6 foot, 1.5 inch tall. He has medium... sort of, well, not like bushy, but kind of like locks of curls, kind of like yours is, Bob, well before your haircut, but the locks, it was full of it's just a dark hair. It had like variegating colors in it.
Yeah.
Medium build. It would be kind of like a buffed up swimmer's build.
Yeah.
He wasn't like
is smooth.
Yeah, and he was, and he wasn't super thin, but he also wasn't a swimmer's build, you know, where they look sickly, like
right.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get a swimmer's build, I look sickly.
Yeah, you need to beef up a little bit, you'll feel better.
Here's an interesting thing. Well, to finish that, so when J.W. saw the red through the Red Canary's eyes back in the first few weeks,
yes.
that is what Ion sees. You see the through the eyes of that woman, that girl,
yes.
and you see their lives. You see
yes.
the people.
And the feeling place, the hurts
yeah.
that come along. Because, see, the only reason she's with him is because she's afraid she can't have better. And there's nothing wrong with him. He's perfectly fine. His genitalia works. He's compassionate. You know, he's not running around on her, and he doesn't have any obvious, propensities to beat up white women or a cokehead or
yeah.
whatever. And then we don't have a problem with those either. But as far as status quo goes, he's as normal homo sapien as anybody, you see. So it's not that he had any kind of weirdness that she would be drawn to the bad boys or that kind of stuff.
But he picks up that she needs him, and that's what he's exploiting when he was surprised when she asserted her own space.
Of course. Of course.
Okay, so what happened today on the beach, I got playing with these two little girls. No, that's nothing. Okay, happened. Nice. Now let's try to see if there was some other thing going on. Like, were they parallel worlders? Because it was interesting, I couldn't figure out who their parents were.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this woman who comes and surfs, bodyboard surfs, and she's pretty well a surfer. And she seems to be by herself, but I thought I picked up she spoke to them at some point. But it would have been funny.
Is one of them Ashley?
No, I didn't get their names, no.
Bob, how you play with somebody you don't get their name?
Well, here's how I play
with Ashley and Terry.
Well, I was being a terrorist. I'd come roaring in on the whitewash, and these two little tiny girls would be playing on the edge, Carol, on the edge of the water.
Yeah.
And I'd come in, and I'd lock my eyes. They'd see me, and I'd lock my eyes at them and, like, start aiming the board at them. And so after I did this about five times, they caught on that this was fun. So then I tell them, you stand here, and I'll go out, and then I wait for a wave, and I come in and aim it at them, and then just curve away, so that got them laughing. And then I let them use the board, and I don't know if they've ever, these are like two-year-olds.
Wow.
And they never had a board before, so they shared the...
They're older than that, Bob.
What?
Don't put two-year-olds on boogie boards.
Bob does. Bob's a terrorist.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I'd say 3, 4, and 3, maybe. Anyways, the little... So then they argued over it a bit and took turns, and that was fun. And
mm-hmm.
But were they... When I walked away, wouldn't it be interesting? I couldn't find who they were connected to. Maybe they were parallel worlders and just dropped in and didn't have any parents over here. Am I exaggerating, Ion, or is it even worse than that? That they were vampires. Okay, any significance of my encounter, or it's okay if there isn't? They were cute little girls.
Tell us a little bit more, Bob.
Well, I would help one, you know, get on the board, and then they wait for the wave, and they go in, and that was all amazing to be on a board.
What?
Then the other littler one wanted to do it, and then the littler one kind of hogged it for a while, and then the bigger one got, then we got to do it together. Lie on together, and they did that. And then they played around with it, but the older girl kept wanting to make sure the board was clean. Didn't like any sand on it.
Absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't believe that the parents would let a strange
yeah. I was waiting
with their girls.
I was waiting for the parents to show up, and they never showed up. Now, mm-hmm. they might have been those people sitting up there, they're, you know, sort of people looking, but when I walked by, when I left, nobody said anything to me, so
mm-hmm.
I decided maybe it was the woman in the water. Maybe they weren't even the daughters, that she was just looking after them. But she was not too concerned about them.
No.
So why on it?
There was a man in the Navy little bathing suit thingy, Navy bottoms that was sitting up kind of like reading a magazine or
yeah.
periodical or something.
Right in front of them or right behind them.
Well, yeah, behind them.
And it was his kids.
That would be the dad.
Right, and did he observe us much, or
he did.
And how did he feel about it?
Well, it's fine, because he was watching every second.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Our parents have to be paranoid. I could have fondled them and screwed them up or something stupid.
Oh, for Pete's sake. No, they weren't Catholic. They were okay, Bob.
But they were watching just in case. They never know what the strength
was. Well, they were just looking at, not about you. You were fine.
Yeah.
They didn't want a big wave to come wipe them out and drag the undertow, drag them out, and then you go, hey, it ain't mine. I can't touch your daughters. They got to drown. They're on their own.
So they were just, everything was cool. So it was a nice experience. That's the first time I played in with any little kids. Carol's done a little bit. So that was
nice. They just love Carol. Everybody loves Carol.
Yeah. With me, it might take a little while. But then they love me eventually. But it was just sort of cute.
Very good.
And, but no major significance. No otherworldliness or no omens. So, Ion, we have the headlines.
How was the secretarial pool today?
What's the secretarial pool, Bill?
The one you go play with women in the beach. Your secretaries.
Oh, they're hardly around. There's not that many women. I mean, there's occasional, but they're not. The models type a year or so ago aren't so frequent. Wouldn't you say that, Carol? Actually, the people look rougher or not as sleek and upper middle class spoiled brats. You know what I mean? Have you noticed that, Carol? Yeah, there's a few, but it's quite sparse. Nobody is a candidate. Nobody's a
You're model. In season now. See, this is the heydays.
Oh, well, we're just finishing it.
Right, but
yeah, there's a lot of pretty people over in the Grand Wilaya, but there's not too. Okay, it's because the waves are so big, many people are staying away, and so that's why there's less people on our beach.
That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, I totally forgot about my secretarial pool function. Yeah, there actually hasn't been. I would say there's less secretarial potential this past 3 months.
Honey, we just let him go, and he just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. We just let him go.
Oh, I know how to entertain you guys. I know how to entertain you guys.
Well, that's entertainment.
Okay, so we have. So I get home and I look at the headlines. Well, this is after the show, and they say they don't know, but 500,000 dead in Haiti. And in JW, I was talking to him later, and he thought that might have been the most ever recorded in an earthquake. What do you think, Ion?
Well, or anything.
Not anything. Okay.
I mean, you're starting to bump into plague status here, Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if they don't have... Sorry.
Yes, if they don't have medical supplies. But did you see what Pat Robertson, he said...
They deserved it.
They deserved it. I mean, that guy is so...
Well, they did.
He's right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no.
What do you mean? Now, wait a second. Now, that one's kind of like going on somebody's communist hit list there. But think about it just a second. They are in power. They are as powerful as any powerful human creator on the planet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And actually maybe in a better place because they don't have all the infiltration of all the woo-woo foolishness that you all get to sift through. Now, yes, they do have a degree of playing with chicken bones and a bit of what they call the hoodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Not voodoo, hoodoo. There's
right.
A difference. They do have a degree of that, but it becomes a way of assisting themselves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's their way of assisting, the same way you take Advil when something goes on in your physical body. Well, that's no different from them throwing the chicken bones to see how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, so Pat Robertson is saying that's what happens when you swear a pact to the devil.
Uh-huh. Well, that's why we made that point.
So
we're not talking about the devil.
Right?
What we're talking about, if marvelous human creators decide mass exodus is the fastest path to their joy, they were powerful enough to cause a 7.2 Richter scaled, large, huge earthquake a few miles west of Port-au-Prince, where 2.5 million people lived.
Is that how many? Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that's major because, see, it's not no medical supplies, no telephone, no lights, no nothing. Then the ones that are trapped are withering. That's why we couldn't give numbers because it's not over yet. Now, you haven't even begun the trickle of aftershocks.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had two already, apparently, six and a five-something, big ones.
Yeah. Six is not an aftershock. Six is another major earthquake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? And that's interesting because the way your guidelines,
do you what?
We almost said guidelines, but it's not, it's guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way the guidelines flow, if you do you remember back in the days when people had globes that you studied for geography?
Yeah.
If you take a pin and you poke it through Taiwan, Philippines, that geographic area, and come straight through,
you get Haiti.
You're going to bump in very close to the Bimini, to the Isles of Bimini.
Right opposite Taiwan.
From that area.
Yeah.
Now, see, it's further. If you're talking about Indonesia, of course, see, that'd be a little south. But we're talking about just as a point straight through from a spherical point.
Yeah.
It would be super duper close that would run into these faulted lines. And when you suppress something somewhere, it just squirts out somewhere else. And that's just where it squirted out. No problem.
And there's been about 35 aftershocks. I'm just counting them. Maybe about 40 aftershocks in the six fives and fours. Wow.
So people are still, what I am?
Things are still shaking and crumbling.
And sieving. It's a sieving.
Mm.
It'll beat that concrete, what little there is, right back to dust.
Yeah.
So you were saying that they decided this was their path of joy, and they could have not done it. They wanted it. Okay, I was thinking Haiti is considered one of the worst places in the world, according to Western standards. And then it's a garbage place, and the Haitians pick it up and say they're not worthy, so do themselves in. I was thinking of that sort of cliche level. Would that have been a factor, that they didn't like where they were and they wanted to leave?
That most of them born there didn't know any better, didn't know any different, Bob.
Well, then why would they want to leave?
Oh, Bob, have you ever been to Port-au-Prince?
Okay, well, that's what we're talking about. They didn't know any difference, but they still perceived how crummy it was, maybe.
They hoped for more. And when more couldn't be their experience or eluded them, then they had another alternative, Exodus.
Yeah, and it's not just it's children. It's people who are 50, 60, been around a long time, and never left Haiti, and nothing ever got different.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, that's it. And
indeed.
What?
Indeed.
Right, so they felt that they weren't getting something. Now, how could we activate them to feel that they weren't in such dire straits? I mean, they could hear Ion.
That's their job.
Beg your pardon?
Not your job.
Yeah, our job, though we will be sort of doing it. If they hear Ion, they might be...
Well, you be real careful. You may become the ambassador for the Gulf.
Right.
And good luck with that.
You mean we could be projected. That could be the collective mind looking for a reason. They'll impose that role on us.
Oh, Bob, those angels are very unionized. The United Auto Workers, they'll come have you detained for trying to take those angels' jobs away from them. trying to get those angels money checks and things. Oh, it'd be terrible.
You mean, and that could happen if I keep emphasizing ion as guff material coming through. Just talk about the guff.
It wouldn't affect us, it affects you. So you probably won't enjoy activating that one very much.
You were just making
the thought, and that's perfectly fine.
And here's the thought. I was just saying what you said. We just go and activate their non-physical.
Right.
And whoever hears it in Haiti in the future might like it.
Well, indeed, but now you think about this dynamic here. Of all the unrealized creations that are now being loosed. But now, we have something to tell you that's very interesting. It's not been this way before.
Okay, Carol, now listen. Carol is distracted with whatever she's reading. We're going to be told something new, Carol.
Okay.
You say it's not been this way.
In the Black Death,
yeah.
You could have lunch with your family and funeral for supper.
Right.
It was fast.
It's really fast. This is slower.
Well, no, this is just a little bit different. Here's what's interesting. There have not been two souls that have transitioned completely the Gulf out of all those that are in the Exodus line.
In other words, they're hovering over their bodies.
There have not been two.
That went into the Gulf?
Yet,
but there are many hovering over the bodies deciding whether to...
Oh, my stars. When we were saying the words tens of thousands,
yeah.
We were not being very conservative.
Right. And a lot of them were deciding whether to transition or not.
Well, they saw it as, how do we get there? How do we get here? Throw the ball. Oh, wait, I can't catch the ball. They're throwing the ball, but I can't catch the ball.
Yeah.
It becomes almost a shock to the psyche.
Yeah.
Or slippage. This is what you call the forming of slippage within physical, non-physical, because the rage was so incredible. It's like when Yellowstone National Park blows.
The caldera.
Will be so radical that you don't even have time to think of the logical progression. But you have eternity, so you'll figure it out. There's no hurry.
Yeah, but when you're saying that once this happened to the Haitians, there was, as they hovered over their bodies, there was rage?
No. It was just all of the deliciousness of having no contrast. But that didn't speed them on their way to follow the light and, you know, all that.
Well, that happens when you come back, follow the light.
But the meme is that you as gently on wings of angels or snow white doves.
Okay, so were the angels
reward?
Were the angels overworked, or the angels don't just do anything until you decide to transition? Right.
Well, but you're acting like that there's a schedule that they're trying to keep. And there is absolutely no even inference of time.
Right. If they got there
in 10,000 years, or they got there in 2 seconds, good. No problem.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in the stone cold dead tape.
Yeah.
When you leave the body, you hover about and decide whether you're going to go back to the body or not. When you decide you're not going back, then you kind of transition. You call that transition. Then you start floating in eternity.
That is correct. But we never said how long eternity is.
Right. We don't know how long it is. I understand that.
Thank you.
So many of those that transition, they have decided that they have transitioned and are now floating in eternity. Right?
Yes.
And they don't have any contrast, so they're not feeling anger or anything. But you imply there's a bit of shock registered somewhere in there, after they leave the body.
They've disturbed a tremendous amount of residue. Residue, remember the leftover parts?
They disturb their own residue, or
Because once you separate it, once you rip the non-physical from the physical, it's quite a chore. When you have that ripping, then there's all kinds of stuff that are sort of quaking in the ethers, especially when you have a very large number.
Mm-hmm.
It's exponentially, that's the right way to say it, exponentially,
mm-hmm.
whichever one you want to use tonight, it's your game.
Okay, here's a thought. When those patients who transition and are floating over their body, do they see other people floating over their bodies?
Nope.
It's all in your own little world. You don't see anybody else.
Just like it is in your world right now.
Right, and then you go into eternity, you don't see anybody else.
Whoa.
So when you get
individually, you don't see anyone else individually, yes.
Yeah. You are in communication with everybody.
Well, you feel, just like you're as a human, you feel. Yeah. I feel cold, I feel warm, I feel wet, I feel dry.
Okay.
Those are feelings that you can't see either.
Right, now, I just implied there's a shaking of the residue, there was shock. When did these emotions or semi-emotions or non-emotions get registered in those that...
The second that you begin your transition.
Right, so...
Not after. The second before, that is.
But that's when you're floating over your body.
And can decide to say, well, that's a perfectly good body, why don't we just use it? Or you look at it and go, oh, no, I want a different body because this one's got all of its arms and legs chopped off and has a house sitting on its head. So
yeah.
I don't think I want to use that particular effect.
So that's what goes on in the first few, quote, seconds once you've exited the body and are determining whether you want to leave or not.
We hate seconds, but the short...
Well, right after, when they leave the body... And they haven't decided whether to go back or not. That's when this shock or surprise is registered.
Good.
And does the surprise stay with them, or does it pass off as they feel the contrastlessness?
You're so close to a false premise. We don't want to hack you on. Ask the same question a little bit differently. We can clean it up and give you a good answer, Bob.
Well, as soon as they're floating over the body, they're feeling the contrastlessness.
Yes, contrastlessness. Yes.
And that's good. A nice feeling.
Well, of course.
So they're feeling okay as they decide.
Well, no, we didn't say necessarily okay, you see. But somebody must have thrown the chicken bones to see if this was going to happen.
Someone threw the chicken bones and saw that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And what's that got to do with the feeling of no contrast, which is a nice feeling?
Well, they may feel lots of emotion by not saying something while these hundreds and thousands of people are withering.
Wait, who's not saying? You said somebody's not saying something.
They didn't warn anyone.
Well, are these thoughts after they've... left the body?
No. These are residue thoughts.
Yeah, and the residue is picked up by those still living. Isn't that the way it works?
Yes.
The residue is the image of that I have of my mother, say, someone who's transitioned. So there's all kinds of people who are tuning into the residue of those that departed.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's disturbing... So it's disturbing consciousness that's in the physical, and the souls are pondering the residue factor. Or maybe they're not, because they are the content of residue. They're not residue. See, that's where I'm not sure about how much a soul is residue. It doesn't sound like a soul is residue. It's our, in the physical projection.
Okay, yes, that's right. But the slipping in and out, especially with parallel worlds, you do cause a breach in your continuums. So you have to be a little bit particular with how you
the soul that's floating over the body has to be particular.
Correct.
But they know what to do because they get the knowledge soon as they're there.
Very good. Good.
So when you say it's rippling through the residue, is it more in the humans that are still here? See, I can't say where this, it's half a projection, half of the other, chicken the egg. Someone asked me what residue, I wouldn't be sure what to say. I would say, well, I understand it's what we project about someone who's moved on or transitioned. And but sometimes I indicates that the person who's moved on, who's transitioned, is involved with the residue. See? I don't know which way it works. Unless it's both.
Bit of both.
Okay. Sounds like it's always a bit of both.
Well, because we're trying to explain things that humans can understand, and everything about your beingness is based on a false premise.
Right.
So to straighten it out just lets you come crashing to earth even faster.
Right.
You rip the engines off the plane because they offend the first class folks. Well, somebody's going to hit the dirt.
So when Ion talked last spring about the die-off sort of being in Asia, something suppressed that. Now it's happening in the Caribbean. Is there other, this is just the beginning of more big earthquakes and things?
Yes.
Which are going to happen regardless, because human wants them. We don't know where it's going to happen and which will squirt out where. But you're implying that something stopped it happening in Philippines. The Filipinos didn't want it to happen.
Transferred it to another landmass, but that doesn't mean that it's been undone or...
there might be blowback. It might come back. Blowback.
Sure.
So the guys who were monitoring the earthquake stuff 6-8 months ago, when we began talking to Ion, they saw these kind of things were coming. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They saw what the measuring stick was trembling about. I said, well, it looks like we're going to get big earthquakes. So this is the beginning, and there might be another one within a couple of weeks somewhere else, which will start looking odd if we have half a million deaths happening. You know, if each one breaks the record.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Carolyn, I don't know if you have any more questions. Is there anything about the whole phenomenon? You say it's new. What was the new aspect? The new aspect was, we didn't finish that. The plague, they died fast. What's happening today? I don't remember what the aspect was that was different.
Maybe well, there wasn't so much different. They were giving the reference of how quick that the Black Death would run.
Yeah.
And this is the opposite. This would be the kaboom. Everybody's got to leave. Becomes a shocker from that place.
Oh.
Transitioning.
Okay, the Black Death would take you 6 hours. This is faster. And this is the largest number in recorded history at one time?
So far.
It's just beginning.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a different topic. I noticed somewhere on the internet that tomorrow they're readjusting the doomsday clock and putting it, I guess, closer to midnight. It's when they started it, and whenever that was, 53, it was 7 minutes to midnight, and I don't know if it's now 5 minutes to midnight, and tomorrow they're going to do something. So why are they, is that mainly to try to scare people into taking better care of the planet? What is it all about?
Well, which doom? Do they mean nuclear war?
Just the chaos of the world. When I don't know if it's nuclear war. Maybe that's how they started it.
Yeah.
So what did? And the question would be, what's the point of having a doomsday clock?
There is none.
Mm-hmm. What do they hope to achieve with having a doomsday clock?
Fear.
Is it working?
No.
Yeah, it's funny, like this earthquake happens, and then the next day, oh, well, you know, it's all about the doomsday. We told you.
But are you saying I am the somebody trying to generate fear? Some group, some collective?
Well, the individual human creators are.
Oh, there you want to have a little fear. Okay.
And then that shows up in their experience if they embrace it.
Yeah, I guess I would say about doing the cash flow, it's interesting how there's this vagueness or chicken and egg situation, and you know, Ian can't say anything about anything, but there always is topics where Ian gets to perform and say things, even though the larger principles are, oh, just relax and allow. You create this, and others create it, and they intermesh, and there's non-physical, I don't know, just general points that can't get precise the way the human mind wants precision or exactitude, but we manage to, within that, to deal with different topics. That's what amazes me. Right, Carolyn? You get my point? We have general principles.
Well, and hopefully vast, because we want it to be open for everybody. You see, if it doesn't work for everybody, it may not work for you, Bob.
If it doesn't work for everybody, did you say?
Yeah. If it doesn't work for everybody, it may not work for you.
Right. I would say that I've learned from Ion that the vagueness of everything, the imprecision that the mind looks for, is what the reality is.
And it is. It is specific.
Yeah, we know reality is a chicken and egg blur. Chicken and egg blur. In any position, and you try to take about defining what's happening. This has been confirmed by Ion.
Sure.
Before Ion, you wouldn't know whether you should know something precise or not.
Right. Very good. And see, and then that activates and gives the individual human creator back their power to have causal effect on looking for a reason.
Yeah. Lots of room to not worry that you haven't come up with a reason.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay.
Very fun.
Bob, were you going to go into more cycles? Tidy up that cycle stuff?
Yeah, so last night.
Okay, there's uni and bicycles and tricycles and.
Right.
Sorry, wrong topic.
Yeah, we were talking about the drama of cognition last night and the cycle.
Hack it up, Bob. Hack it up. You'll be all right.
the mind oscillating.
There's some water there, Bob. Drink it.
Oscillating past, present, future. That, we were talking about that as a cycle, but after I realized, no, that's just within the mind. The cycle, which is just an interplay, it may not be literally a circle, but a cycle would be between the physical, the non-physical, and the labyrinth of the mind.
And well, yes, if you can make it that way, but you certainly don't have to. But if you find yourself there, then yes, more likely than not, that's the reality. But you don't have to get all tangled up in that.
Well, I was saying that the last night that the cycle between past, present, future becomes on a bigger level, people dropping stuff back in Cairo, but it happens in every person's mind, and I said that's a cycle. Now, that can be the cycle, and that may be what it is for most people, but if you bring in the non-physical and physical, that's even a more interesting cycle because you got all three happening, and that's
right. What's
going on here.
Interplay, interconnected. Interplay of exchanging, of exchange.
Yeah.
That way it's open. It's open-ended, yes.
Yeah, because people say a synapse connected. That's a popular way to say what you just said, the interplay of interconnected exchange. So if I encompass in my cycle model the non-physical physical, then you can understand that while humans try to figure out what they're going to do tomorrow and what they based on what they did yesterday, there is a larger cycle, and the non-physical is the thing that's helping set up what happened to Haiti. You know, that's part of the cycle.
Allowing it, yes.
Yeah, allowing it. So I just wanted to expand the cycle vision, Carol. Did you get that?
And we would like to do a little bit more.
Okay.
you have a, you take a pictorial of your Old Testament business runs this way, of a circle and a circle and